CQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the hour of the time. I'm William Cooper. It's true, folks. If you're not, you don't believe it. That's why some Christians absolutely amaze me. They claim they believe in God. They claim that they believe in Jesus as their personal Savior. And then as soon as they get that out of their mouth, they say, I'd like to help you, but I'm afraid I'll get on somebody's list and they might come and kill me. You see, they lied to me. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe. They're liars. They are hypocrites. And the worst part of that is they're lying to themselves. And it doesn't just pertain to Christians. Somebody comes to me and tells me they're Jewish and they believe in God. And then in the same breath say there's no hereafter. When you die, you're dead and you're rotting the ground and that's it. And I can't help you because I'm afraid to die. This is it. This is the whole ball of wax right here. If you believe in God, it can't be. It's impossible. So what he did is he convinced me that he didn't believe in God, that he was a hypocrite and a liar. I could go on right through every religion that there is. I know Mormons who tell me that when they die, they're going to have their own planet, and them and their wife are going to spend all eternity in spiritual intercourse, populating their own planet with souls. They will be the gods of that planet. Really? Why aren't you helping me save this country for your children and your grandchildren? Oh, I might get on somebody's list, and they might come and get me, and I might get killed. Well, you see, they don't believe that either. They don't believe in their own religion. They don't believe the Mormon religion. Because if they really believed it, death would be their friend if they died fighting evil on the side of God. How about an atheist? If an atheist believes in liberty and freedom, and that's the ultimate accomplishment of humankind, is to be able to create that kind of an atmosphere where we can live in freedom responsibly without hurting each other, then he has to be willing to die for that. Even if dying means that's the end of everything. He might be surprised, but nevertheless, even if it means dying is the end of everything, because he has to do it for his children and his grandchildren and his wife and his mother and father and the people that he loves, so that they can have that ultimate achievement of mankind, so that they can live in that kind of a world. And when they tell me they're afraid that they might die defending that principle, I know they're lying to me. They don't believe it. They're hypocrites. They're liars. And of course, they're cowards. A man or a woman who firmly believes in something that they are ready and willing to die for at any given moment is invincible. And a whole nation of those people cannot be defeated by anything or anybody ever. It cannot happen. Have I convinced you of anything? Have I convinced you at least once and for all that cowardice kills? And do you sincerely desire to be free of its vile influence enough to actually do something about it this time? Well, here's how it's done, folks. Read everything you can about the once proud history of this country and thus learn of every real American's true heritage. Read. Actually, read the Bible. Whether you believe in the divinity of the Word, whether you believe in the divinity of Jesus, whether you believe that any of the books of the Bible were divinely inspired. It is the history of the human race. And if you don't know anything about the history of the human race, you better start learning. Written by the people who lived at the time, not by some scholar 2,000 years later. It's important that you read, actually read the Bible. And this is just my own personal opinion. I would recommend that you start with the words in red. If you're not a Christian, then read the doctrine of the faith you claim. Listen to me. If you're not a Christian, then read the doctrine of the faith you claim. You'll never get through this fight without your Creator. But with your Creator, you can't lose. You'll never get through this fight if you don't believe in anything. You will never survive. But if you believe in something strong enough that you're willing to die for it, you cannot lose. You cannot lose. Read the Constitution for the United States of America. Read the Constitution for your state. Most of you never saw it in your life. Read the Declaration of Independence. It's the most inspiring document you may ever read. Read the Articles of Confederation. Read the Federalist Papers. Don't listen to what people tell you about the Founding Fathers. Read what they wrote. Read what they wrote. Listen to them. And remember, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Faith overcomes cowardice. That's why faith is important. Remember, I told you in a broadcast of this show years ago, so long ago, I don't remember how many years it was, but it was a long time ago. I told you that if there was no concept of God on this earth, man would have to invent God. Whether he believed in God or not, he would have to invent God and then invent that belief and then make it happen. Because man without faith, man without being subject to the law of a higher force, is Adolf Hitler. You see, everything becomes subjective under such a system. Which means that you revert to the law of the jungle. It's what Clinton's doing in Yugoslavia right now. So keep your faith strong. Keep your faith strong and don't ever let anyone dissuade or discourage you from making it stronger every single day. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, cowards have little, if any, faith. Their beliefs are virtually under the direct and total control of their masters, who as a result have become their owners by the coward's own consent. I withdrew my consent years and years ago. I drew the line in the sand. I may be the only free person in this entire nation, because I refuse to give my consent. Learn to readily recognize whenever anyone attempts to infect you or anyone else with the disease known as cowardice, and expose them for who and what they are and what they're doing and how they're doing it to the full light of day, and for the whole world to see, and watch the cockroaches, watch those vermin scatter from the light. You see, these vermin are nothing more than terrorists. You want to see the real terrorists? Well, these vermin are nothing more than terrorists. They prey on human weakness. But once you know the truth, their schemes and scams become as transparent as just so much urine, and just as yellow, too. But with a far greater stench, exactly like their vile and filthy purpa traitors. And also remember these easily observable facts about the enemy. You see, the despots themselves are even bigger cowards than those they seek to subjugate, and they pray every night that you never find that out. They wouldn't even think of attacking their targets with anything less than completely overwhelming odds and the utmost of brutality, which is why they must first totally disarm their victims before they even dare to have their way with them. Have you been listening to NATO lately? We won't send in ground forces until we know that there won't be any opposition. They're cowards. They know that the troops don't feel this little funny feeling in their chest. They don't get all shaky when the NATO flag marches by, or the United Nations flag. They do when the flag of the United States of America marches by. They might be willing to die for that flag, but who wants to die for the NATO flag? Who wants to die for the United Nations flag? Who? You see, these despots are even bigger cowards than those they seek to subjugate. That's why there's such a push in this country to disarm the American people. They cannot have their one world totalitarian socialist government if Americans have guns in their hands. Because once Americans really, once they really get a taste of what they're in for, there's going to be civil war in this country. I've said it for years, and I'll keep saying it, and it will happen. There are just too many people like me who will not consent. Absolutely will not. Now listen to me carefully. These despots are neither omnipotent, omnipresent, nor are they infallible or wise. And there is a greater number of patriots than there is of the enemy. The only way the enemy can ever succeed is if you let them by being a coward and doing nothing. And although they presently control great power and material wealth, the enemy is morally destitute. Listen to me carefully. They are morally destitute, even going so far as to actually believe their own filthy lies and thus even deceive themselves. And since they proceed as though they are deified, whether or not they actually believe such false teachings of the mystery schools, they are nonetheless, as a result, without absolutes and are therefore as ships without rudders, and there are plenty of icebergs around. There are many more observable facts about this very real war for liberty which we find ourselves engaged in, but you should have the idea by now. And that idea is, be not afraid, only believe. Listen to me carefully. You were not created a coward. You don't have to be a coward. Quite the contrary. We've all been called to fight the good fight, not to allow evil to triumph by doing nothing. So what are you waiting for? If you already don't give your consent to tyranny, keep up the excellent work. You're a big part of what's right with America. If you have given your consent to tyranny, then take it right back. Withdraw your consent right now, this minute, for unless and until you do, you are exactly what's wrong with America. You are everything that's wrong with America. You are, in fact, part of the enemy force. If you are a coward, and after having heard how you can rid yourself of this deadly disease, you still refuse to do so, choosing instead to remain a coward and continuing to consent to tyranny, then you are a fool. You're a fool. For whom the best advice has already been provided long ago by Samuel Adams. Listen to this very carefully. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, Go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. The only way this country will ever return to being the land of the free is if it first and foremost returns to being the home of the brave. Be not afraid. Only believe. Never, ever forget it. Never, ever forget it. Not even for one single moment. Be not afraid, only believe. Never forget it, not even for one single solitary moment.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I
And here comes the best part, folks. I have been waiting since the beginning to tell you this. I want all of you men to listen to me very carefully. All you men out there all over the world, listen to me carefully. What you just heard was written by Louise Rader, a woman. Why is it that the women are taking the lead in this fight? Remember what I told you about Linda Thompson when I went to Waco, Texas? The first time I ever laid eyes on Linda Thompson, she was standing in a parking lot waving an AR-15 over her head, mustering her small little militia of 14 to try and save the Branch Davidians from the overwhelming force of tyranny. Why is it that Louise Rader wrote this and not Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Gritz? Louise is a dear friend of mine. She's been a listener to the Hour of the Time for many years. You've heard her. She's called in. And she wrote that. Except for, you know, I can't read anything like this without putting my own two cents in, so there was a lot that you heard that was my own. But for the most part, this came from the pen of Louise Rader. The phones are open, 520-333-4578. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of the broadcast, which is about 30 more minutes until we have to do the shuffle off thing. 520-333-4578. Something like that sure puts the damper on you, doesn't it? Well, let's hear what you think about it. Are you going to... You're not going to wimp out now after hearing that, are you? If you do, then you're in big trouble. Really big trouble. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Nick from New York.
Hi, Nick.
Calling about the show, and it's amazing because I've talked to thousands of people, you know, and most people, you're right, they hide their head in the sand, you know. Some people are so fearful that they're even afraid for me to talk out loud. They wonder why I'm not afraid, you know. And I tell them because, you know, I'm an American and I believe in God. I have nothing to fear.
That's very good. I've actually had people who wanted to support me and help me, but didn't want to be seen with me.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's them. But I tell you, after talking to all of these people, I would say about 20% now. At different times, I hear from them, and they give me information, and they ask about certain things. Now they become alert and aware. This is in New York City. This is a very difficult situation.
Yeah, that's the bastion of socialism.
Yeah, because we think we're so intellectually smart here and stuff like that, and we know it all, you know.
Why is it that the intellectuals are always the first ones to march into tyranny and try to con everybody else into going with them, when history has shown that the first thing that tyranny does is execute all the intellectuals?
Well, I think it comes down to ignorance. Like, I try to explain to people, the first thing I tell them that is, you know, I'm ignorant. I might be less ignorant now than I was 5 years ago, but I am ignorant. They keep us so ignorant with the garbage that they spew out to us that, you know, that is basically
sure
available to us.
Yeah.
And that I remind myself in the mirror at least 2-3 times a week when I shave, remember, you're ignorant.
That's a good time to do it.
You know, keep your mind open and stuff. And by telling them that I'm ignorant, I can explain to them how they are ignorant. It's not stupid. It's a lack of information.
Oh, no. Once you've been presented with the information and you continue to ignore it, that's stupid, my friend.
Right. That's what I mean. I mean, you know, that because so many people that I talk to have no knowledge whatsoever, and I get them to You know, and I tell them at the end of the conversation, basically, I'm not telling you what to do, how to do it, be a militia, get a gun, do anything. I'm telling you one thing. Keep your eyes and your ears open. Think. Read between the lines. See the lies. And if you do that...
That's the first step to building a militia. Believe it or not, it's true.
It leaves America and stuff when the shit hits the fan, and it's going to.
Yeah, but let's keep it clean. Now, you can say bullshit. That has an entirely different meaning, but you can't say the last half of that word by itself on the air.
Okay? When the cock out hits the fan.
There you go.
Okay. I just want to talk to you about one thing.
Isn't that hypocritical? Everybody knows what that means, but it's acceptable. Right. It means exactly the same thing as the other word, but that's not acceptable.
I just want to talk to you about a little bit about Yugoslavia, some things that I picked up.
Go ahead.
My brother-in-law is Yugoslavia.
I want to ask you to talk louder, though, if you can.
Yep. There's never been the mass bloodletting that has occurred, never in its history like this. And
well, that's not true. When the Muslims tried to invade Europe through the Balkans, the Serbian people fought them viciously and were overcome and enslaved. And the Muslims actually killed millions of Serbs over the years, castrated them, made slaves out of them. Just absolute...
What year was this, though?
Pardon? That was back in the 1300s, I believe.
I meant basically like the current history, about 200 years.
Oh, no, this history goes way back.
Right, no.
This friction between the Serbs and the Muslims is hundreds of years old.
No, that I understand back there. But because I was thinking about Marshal Tito when he... took over the country during World War II and after World War II. You know, he brought a semblance of peace and unison, you know, to that country.
Sure. That's because he made sure that everybody was treated properly and anybody stepped out of line, you know, got picked up real quick.
Right. But, you know, when you go through like 2-3 generations of this thing, and they were one of the most advanced countries in Europe, you know, whether they were communist bloc, but from what I understand of the two Yugoslavian people I've talked to, he did not trust the West or the East, Marshal Tito.
Why should he?
And he protected his people and prepared for the worst from both sides.
Sure. Well, he probably understood what was going on. See, the world was carved up by Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt at Yalta.
Well, I know that they talked to me about the army, how he prepared the army into small units so that they could defend themselves.
Let me tell you something. I have a map that was drawn up in 1942 or 43. This map showed the disposition of countries, how they would be ruled and who they would be ruled by after the war. It even showed a new country in the Middle East called Hebrew Land. And this map is absolutely 100% correct down to the smallest nation, how it was divided up after the war. This map was drawn up in 1942 or 1943. I have to go get it out of my archives and take a look at the date to make sure. But it's 1942 or 1943. And this was long before the war ended.
You should put that in Veritas. I get that, and I'd love to see that.
Well, I can't because it's too big. We have to find some way to photograph it and bring it. I can do that if I had the right lighting and because I have a degree in photography. But it's a monumental task to do because it's a huge map. It's not some little thing that you get in the mail. This is a real big map.
And
it's in black and white, but you know it's a big map site, like you know, just like a National Geographic map.
Watch 60 Minutes last night.
No.
Okay, they showed something about the Serb atrocities. You addressed it.
How come they never show the Albanian or the KLA atrocities?
That's the thing, because if you watch the show, though, and you believe, you know, if you think that it's a lie and you look for the lies, you could spot the lies in the show that were amazing.
Yeah, they are amazing. I didn't see it, but I've seen all the other stuff that they've been presenting, and I don't know why anybody continues to believe NATO. Every time they have denied something, they've been proven to be liars. Every single incident.
Such as, where are the photos of the human shields?
Where are the photos of the human shields? Where are the photos of the mass executions? Where are the photos of the mass execution graves? My God, we've got satellites up there that can read the writing on a pack of cigarettes.
Well, check this out on the mass graves. That's part of what that story was about yesterday. They had three parts. But one part of it was some refugee said that there were 156 people killed. He was hiding in the woods. And then they came back after the Serbian police left, and they buried the bodies. And then they cut back to the studio, and they show a satellite picture of what looks like three rows of graves, approximately 156 graves. But nobody asked the question that, why would the Serbian people go back and bury their own people in a mass grave as opposed to their cemetery of that city?
You mean the Albanian people?
Right. I'm sorry. Kosovars, right.
Yeah.
Why would they not take them to their own cemetery? Why would they dot after dot after dot?
I know. It's just absolutely insane. I'm going to let you go. We're going to let some other people in here.
Okay. God bless you, Bill. Take care.
You too. Thanks for calling. 520-333-457. I love it when somebody from New York calls. That is the bastion of socialism, I gotta tell you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Al from Grantsburg up in Wisconsin.
Hi, Al.
I did my homework on Socrates.
Good. Tell us all about it.
Well, I want to commend you for your show tonight.
Thank you.
It's excellent.
Thank you.
Well, Socrates, but
I think you should also commend Louise Rader because she's the one who wrote it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the library and I got three sources. Now, one was an older encyclopedia, another one was a newer. And then the lady there was kind enough to go downstairs and look it up on that machine, that scope thing, the www dot thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had a few days to think, Bill. And he died as a martyr.
Yeah, what did he die of?
Well, he died of hemlock poisoning, but the ironic part of this was that back then, there were only two people who, through their courts at the time, were accused and given the death penalty. And that was Jesus Christ and Socrates.
Yeah. What was Socrates accused of?
He was accused of trying to influence the children of his beliefs.
And how was he doing that?
Well, he didn't do any writings that according, but he did it through his feelings and his inner beliefs of right and wrong. And that's what he went by. He got it through by knowledge of what he called of evil and good.
Yeah, and what specific,
and that.
What specifically was he teaching the young people that made the government angry with him?
Well, I think I don't really I'm slow to learn it.
Well, that's okay. Don't get so far. Here's what he did.
Okay.
He taught the young people not to believe what they were told.
Right.
He taught them to ask questions.
Yes.
And the government could not stand in the light of questions, and so they arrested Socrates, tried him, and condemned him to death.
Absolutely.
And the death penalty was that he had to drink the hemlock himself.
There were 30 people around him that were followers of him. Plato was one of his
students, yeah.
Right, his students. Now I'm going to get into reading a little bit about Plato too, because I think he would probably be able to tell me more about what he believed. That's what's interesting.
Yeah. So why do you think President Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America?
Well, because you are like him. You are a follower of Socrates.
That's right. I am.
Absolutely.
I am extolling the teachings of Socrates on the radio worldwide, and the government cannot stand up to questioning.
Well, they can't. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They can't stand the truth.
That's right. Because questions are what is required to discover the truth. You got it. You did your homework well.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
I am very proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Have a beautiful evening.
You too. Thank you for calling. Thank you for doing your homework.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Most people don't do their homework. But you see what happens when you do your homework? When I give you a homework assignment and you do it, wonderful doors open up for you. And you begin to see and understand things that you never saw and understood before. But it never happens unless you do the homework. And what you should do, all of you, is when I assign homework to somebody else, you should do it too. How many of the rest of you went and looked up Socrates and his life and his death? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. I listened to you for years. Had a couple of questions for you. First, I was doing some research here, actually more just kind of listening to the BS media, as you call it, and I heard a thing about that Nostradamus was predicting like World War II in July, and I wanted to see if from your opinion, this is related to like the mystery schools.
Well, in the first place, it's BS. Nostradamus wrote a whole bunch of what are called quatrains. And he wrote them in French. And no one has ever found the key to decipher the encoding of his quatrains. And so you can make them say whatever you want them to say. Nobody has ever figured the key to deciphering them. They were written in code, every single one of them. And so, you know, they use Nostradamus. And they have even created this Nostradamus thing to manipulate people who believe in prophecy, that the future is fated to happen and you can't change it.
The other question I had was, I guess I was searching your website as I discovered like over the last couple of years, and I saw like you just have the most extensive website for you know, just starting your own research and whatnot.
Well, that's why I built it, so that people would use it for research.
Resource I've ever seen for for us people that want to actually like you said for years and years do your own research and come to your own conclusions instead of believing what other people tell you to believe.
Right.
And I guess I did come across something I found rather strange. I guess in the last couple of days, it's called PGP key. What can you tell me what that is? Because I like clicked on it and it was like all this weird code and everything. I was like, what is this?
That's exactly what it is. It's an algorithm for encrypting messages, and if you use the highest algorithm, which is 4095, I believe it is, it's almost impossible. Well, it is absolutely impossible for anybody outside the National Security Agency to decipher your messages. And even the National Security Agency, it will take them quite a while to do it. But I guarantee you, the National Security Agency can crack and read PGP messages. Anybody who doesn't believe that doesn't understand the money that's been put in to the cryptology department of the National Security Agency.
In what application would you use this, Mr. Cooper, I guess?
Sending secure messages that you don't want anybody else to read.
Like email, regular mail?
It depends. If you want to say something to somebody else you don't want anybody else to read, you had better use PGP.
Okay. Yeah, I just was curious about that because it wasn't really much explanation. I figured I must get an explanation from you to understand what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just a crypto code that you can use to send secure messages, but understand, everybody out there, understand, the National Security Agency, if they want to read your messages, I don't care what you encrypt them with, that's their job, they will read it, if they want to. if they want to bother with it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cooper, and keep up the good work. I mean, we're listening to you here in Yuma, Colorado tonight, and I'll tell you what, you're just doing a wonderful job, and keep up the good work with your website and your radio show. There should be more out there like you.
Well, thank you. I wish there was. I could take a vacation.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
William, I didn't get a ring.
Pardon?
No, I'd like to say thanks to Louise.
Well, great. I'm sure she's listening, and I'm sure that makes her very happy.
Yeah, I've felt her firebrand in the chat room there.
Oh yeah.
Haven't seen her in a while.
She's a patriot, and I'm sure when the fighting starts, you don't want to be on the battlefield opposite her.
Yeah, I'll indulge in a little regional pride, Bill. New York has its problems. I'm calling from New York. But I think the capital of socialism is in Washington, D.C., in the Federal District, or in any of these smaller towns that are based on a military base, or a place like Oklahoma City, where I understand 40% of the public there were employed by the federal government.
Well, I think it's more than that in Oklahoma City.
Incredible.
I think over 50% of everybody who lives in Oklahoma City is employed by the government in some capacity, either federal or state.
But your point's well taken. New York has its share of socialists, and particularly the ideologues of it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Nick, who called from New York, talking about the lies that are being told about Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And I just read this piece in the New York Post. It was talking about a fella named Cody Shearer.
Yes.
This is the brother-in-law.
Yes.
Of Strobe Talbot.
I know.
One World Talbot.
Yeah.
Now this Cody Shearer, his father, wrote the Walter Scott's Personality Parade column in Parade magazine for many years.
Yes, he did.
Cody Shearer was involved with trying to get Democratic fundraising monies out of the Indians out in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
Which Mr. Babbitt should have been removed from office for, but hasn't been.
Yep.
He's been working with Terry Lenzner, digging up dirt on politicians and other people.
That's how they... That's...
But most incredibly, this Cody Shearer, who started this nice-sounding organization called the International Institute for Mediation and Conflict Resolution. Doesn't that sound nice?
What a joke that is.
Yeah, he's
a strong-arm man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was recently accused of engaging in secret peace negotiations with members of the Bosnian Serb government.
Yeah.
And so, imagine what the Serbian leadership.
He's also been accused of and identified as one of the people who has strong-armed and threatened some of the key witnesses against Clinton.
Right. Kathleen Welly, for example.
Yes.
She may have ID'd his photograph.
Yes.
As being the guy who asked her about her children and inquired about her dead cat. But it's amazing.
And her slashed tires and... and he's been ID'd by a couple of other people too.
Yeah, so I don't know what rock these people crawl out from under, but it's amazing. You know, this was published on page 8 of the New York Post. I mean, it should be an outrage. It should be front page news in every newspaper in this country. It should be a top of the hour story on the
That's right.
Communist News Network.
That's right. But you will never see stories like that.
Because, Bill, you're absolutely right. They have obtained a stranglehold control. And, mind you, the New York Post is part of that stranglehold control on the media. And it's amazing how this article was couched. They really shifted the bulk of the conversation about Shearer to Ms. Wiley. And it's amazing that they put out this disinformation, or they tell half the truth. But you know, you nailed it on the head. Unless and until the American public become absolutely outraged that this kind of stuff is going on, that this can be printed in United States papers and their fellow citizens don't become enraged, absolutely enraged. To think that we have a strong arm guy, this Corey Shearer, who's not elected to anything, traveling around the world, bullying leaders of other nations.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And they keep talking about this great new world order that's going to bring democracy to the world, and yet the United Nations doesn't have one single official that's elected by anybody?
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
It's absolutely insane.
Well, Bill, I'm outraged, and by God, I hope some other people become outraged.
Me three.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
This is Jeffrey from New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey. I just got a letter from you today with some tapes in it.
That's right. You got, and I came through last week. One of them is, well, you can look them over because one of them is on the Venona papers and the other is the Protocols of Zion.
Uh-huh.
And I think you'll find them interesting, but I came up with a couple of news reports today.
Oh, did you know that the Protocols of the Wise Men of Zion...
Yeah, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
...are printed in my book.
Right. And of course, the History Channel came up with a program on them.
I was the only man in modern time who had the guts to print them.
They're saying that it's a fraud, that it goes back to a couple of sources.
No, it's
but that's the reason I sent it to you, so you could see what the History Channel was saying about them.
Yeah, well, it's no fraud at all, and anybody who reads the protocols will understand that that is the blueprint for the New World Order, and they have been following it word for word, absolutely, and it's absolutely incredible. And they have pinned anti-Semitic on anybody who reads them or talks about them, so that everybody's afraid to read them, and so no one understands this. If they would just sit down and read them, they would discover right away, and they would be able to look at the events happening in the world and see that they're following this plan to the letter.
That's correct.
To the absolute letter. And it has nothing to do with Jews or Judaism. It has everything to do with the people who are putting together one world government.
And speaking of that, I had a report that broke 11:35 Central Time on the Joseph Farah News Hour today. Guess who is the man who backed Barak, who is the new Prime Minister of Israel, and manipulated his campaign?
Who?
James Carville.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I can't stand it. Oh, no. I'm going to pull my hair out, what little is left. Oh, my God.
I know, but you can see how the Israeli election is. And the whole point is that once again we're seeing the New World Order manipulating in the Middle East and setting up its attempt to bring about its division of Jerusalem, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, remember, I told you when Netanyahu sabotaged the peace accords and tried to sabotage Clinton with the Monica Lewinsky thing.
That's correct.
Because that's exactly where it came from. The whole Lewinsky thing was set up by Israeli agents and international Zionism. I told you that Netanyahu was history. I said it on this broadcast that Netanyahu is history, and he sabotaged the New World Order.
Right, and of course the biggest crime in that election was Benny Begin dropping out, the so-called rightist, dropping out at the last minute. Somebody got to him.
Well, somebody been getting to a lot of people lately. Remember the senators?
I know about that. Look at how the GOP caved in on the gun issue last week.
Yeah, after refusing to pass the gun control issue on gun shows, the next day, nobody came and introduced anything. They came in, white as a sheet, scared to death, and backtracked on everything. Somebody got to them that night.
Of course. The same thing with that Senate all over the place. Well, I'll I'll let you go, Bill, but there's one other thing I wanted to point out. The BBC conducted an interview with one of those Serbian prisoners of war who was being released today.
Uh-huh.
And the prisoner said, and I think I'm quoting his exact words, "I helped kill Albanians and bury them in mass graves." This happened 2 weeks ago in an interview with the BBC. Now, that doesn't excuse Clint for what he's doing. Remember that. But I have to point this out. That
doesn't mean that what he said is true either. Remember, he's a prisoner.
True. But in order for them, for the other side, for our enemies, to make things real, they have to do something. They have to contribute some of this to the problem in order to make you support what they're trying to bring about. And that's all I have to say on the issue.
Oh, sure. They've been trying that every single day. And most people believe every word that they say.
And they don't look at all the sides of the picture, and they don't look at the ramifications of what NATO is trying to bring about either, which is world government.
Yep.
Well, I'll let you go and let other people get on the act.
That's true. Thanks for calling, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Yeah, for those of you out there who think it's the Jews, watch what's going to happen to Israel. There's going to be peace in the Middle East. They're going to make a Palestinian state. Israel is going to give up some of its territory. And if Israel refuses, they're going to bomb Israel just like they're bombing Yugoslavia. So get this Jew shit, crap, junk, baloney out of your head. It's not true. You understand? It's not true, folks. The Illuminati is made up of a lot of different people, all pretending to be a lot of different religions and political viewpoints and stances and everything else. And you better understand that. George Bush is a member of the Illuminati. George Bush is not Jewish. George Bush has helped bringing about the New World Order. George Bush is not Jewish. Bill Clinton is not Jewish. He's helping bring about the New World Order. Tony Blair is not Jewish. He's helping to bring out about the New World Order. And I could go on and on and on. Jerry Falwell's another one. So is Pat Robertson. You watch. If you don't believe me, you just watch. And understand. The Jewish people are manipulated to help this along. I can tell you that for a fact. They are probably the easiest group of people in the world to manipulate. All you have to do is say the word Holocaust. So, I guess that ought to just about get you. Oh, I bet there's some people out there seething tonight. I bet they are just seething, boiling. Because of what I've said on this broadcast tonight. And, folks, you better understand, this is not a video game. This is for real. We're about to lose it all. Because of a nation of cowards. Good night, folks. And cowards or not, God bless you. Each and every single one of you.
When you cast your eyes upon the skylines of this once proud nation, this is the fear and the hatred growing in the hearts of its population. Without you, we are being seduced by the greedy hands of politics and our trust. The beaten generation, the beaten generation, reared our doubts, a petrol kicked and missed information. The beaten generation, the beaten generation, open your eyes, open your imagination. By the gasoline views and hypnotized by the satellites into believing what is good and what is right. You may be worshipped from the temples of man or lost from the prisons of religion, but can you still walk back to happiness when you've nowhere left to run? the beaten generation, the beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice and misinformation, the beaten generation, the beaten generation.
Listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM is your nonprofit community service radio station.